chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, if you would. I've sought the Lord, honestly I have, sought the Lord about what He'd have me to preach tonight. And I'm not interested in just having 2 points in a poem or something that I've preached before. You know, if God lays that on my heart, that's fine too. But if He wants me to go a different direction, and He is so tonight, then I'm going to try my best to be obedient to the Lord. And so He's directed my heart into 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I've not preached from this text before. So we'll both be learning at the same time tonight as we go through it. Amen. You've been seated a while. I want you to stand in reverence to the Scripture. And there's a lot to be said about this chapter. I was planning to deal with several things in it, but I feel like the Lord just had me to kind of just skip all that and go right into the heart of what is on my heart. And so let's skip down actually to verse number 31. 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 31, I ask you to pray for us as well about our voice. We've been struggling with it off and on quite a bit for the last probably 5 weeks, I guess. So you pray for us about that, if you would. Verse 31, he's dealing, let me just say this much, he is dealing, starting with verse 25, continuing down through verse number 38, he is dealing with single people. He's dealing with people that are unmarried. And so we're going to be focusing on some things that Paul had to say to them, that God spoke to my heart about for this service tonight. Verse 31, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Verse 35 will be our last verse we'll read. You can read the rest of it, but for sake of time, verse 35. And Paul said this, and this I speak for your own profit. He's talking about what he had been covering thus far. He said, this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Notice that. Paul said, this is the focal point I'm trying to get you to, is that what you do in life, whether you're single or married, may it be so without distractions. Serve God without distractions. And our world is full of them that'll get your eyes off of the Lord. Amen. So you pray for us as we pray, and then you can be seated. Father, we come in Jesus' name. I ask you tonight, Lord, that you would captivate our attention, draw our attention to your holy word and to yourself. I pray you'd fill me with the Spirit of God. I pray, dear Lord, that I would preach as if it may be my last time this side of heaven to stand before people to proclaim, thus saith the Lord. Lord, you birthed this in my heart. There's no question about it, though I've never preached on it. You birthed it in me. It's on me and it's in me. And I pray you help me, Lord, to convey that and project that and declare this to the people that would be awaiting the message. Help us, Lord, to be attentive. God, speak to us tonight. Give us truths, Lord, that will change and challenge our lives. And what you do for us, God, we'll thank you and give you praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And for our sakes we pray, amen. You may be seated. I'm not going to go back and give you the chapter division. It's very clear and it's very important to see the divisions of the context of this chapter. A lot of this chapter has been used to support a lot of false ideas about marriage, double married preachers, and all those sorts of things. But that's not the burden of my heart tonight. Paul is dealing, if I could summarize one statement, Paul is dealing with the spiritual life of single people. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm increasingly alarmed at the fading spirituality of our young people. Are y'all listening? I know that's not everybody. I know there are some exceptions, and every young person in this building, everybody listening to the sound of my voice, you ought to purpose in your heart to be an exception. Anybody can be anybody. Anybody can be like everybody. But you ought to purpose in your heart, though everybody goes astray, everybody goes haywire, I'm going to stay with what's right. I'm going to adhere to the convictions and the commandments of the Bible and bear my cross and follow the Lord. But I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about the spirituality, the lack thereof, the fading of it, meaning they used to be on fire for the Lord. They used to have a walk with God, but now they've allowed distractions to come in. They've allowed romance to come in and have absolutely destroyed and consumed their spiritual life. I told a couple a few years back, I said, I promise you one thing. If you're not spiritual in your courtship, there's not a chance of you being spiritual once you get married. Come on, married folks, amen right there. Amen. Some of you men would have said amen right there, but you're afraid to, amen. That's exactly right. God help us. Amen. I'm sick of it. I'm sick, Brother Joe, of seeing romance come into the picture of spiritual young people. And the next thing you know, spirituality goes out the window. Carnality comes in. The things of God loses value. Amen. Christ loses focus. The things of God does not help them or move them anymore. Now, you will never live long enough to convince me that that's the will of God. God will never put anybody in your life that will pull your heart away from Him. Say amen right there. Oh, I feel it coming on. Amen. Amen, that's right. Amen. If you're losing it, you're losing your joy, you're losing your desire, you're losing that spiritual focus. I want to tell you it's your fault, and there's a reason for it. And let me tell you this, the devil's not doing it. He's behind it, but he's not doing it. Amen. Well, that's right. The man of God that was penning this down or writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul, he gives us a clear description of what the spirituality of single people should be. Can I read it to you in case you missed it when we come through? Look at verse number 32. That middle ways of the verse, but he that is unmarried, here's a description of your spiritual life. Here's what your life should be a description of. He careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. That's a single person right there. That's an unmarried person right there that is giving themselves to a spiritual life, how that they care for the things of the Lord and how that they may please the Lord. Look down in verse 34. Middle way of the verse, the unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. When I saw those two verses and God birthed it in my heart for this service tonight, first thing come to my mind, I said, wow. Did I, young people, listen, how many in here, I would have you to stand, but how many in here is unmarried? Raise your hand. Actually, I want you to stand. I want everybody to see this. You're unmarried. Now, y'all just might as well get ready. I'm going to preach to you. And the married folk ain't getting off the hook either. Look at that, preacher. What would happen if these right here tonight that is unmarried would line up with your description? What your description's supposed to be. That's supposed to be your focus. That's supposed to be your heartbeat. That's supposed to be your desire. But I'm afraid even in our church, amen, in any church, there's a lot of unmarried, single people like standing here tonight that this is not your description. It ought to be. Maybe it used to be. But most definitely it should be and it can be. And I hope God will use the message tonight to stir your heart. You can be seated. The first thing I want to point out, just mention a few things about it, and that is what potential description is given here. And I use the word potential on purpose because this description of both the man, the unmarried man, and the unmarried woman is a potential for you. It's not out of reach. Paul's not talking about something that a single person couldn't have or couldn't attain. Amen. But he's talking about a description that should be yours. Amen. Well, amen, that's right. That's exactly right. Is this describing you, young ladies, that stood? Several of you stood. Is this your description here? That the unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. Is that your description? What about it, young man? Is this your description? He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Is that your description? If the answer is no to that, or if the answer is used to be, preacher, it used to be, but it's not now, whatever. If it's not active in the present tense, you ought to be making your plans right now. I'm going to be getting in the altar shortly. Because here's the truth. Here is a major truth. The spirituality of your single life is preparing you for marriage. I jumped ahead right there in case some of you are asleep a little bit later. But what a potential description, amen? Oh yes, Paul's dealing with the spirituality of single people. It would impact this church if everybody would adhere to their descriptions given here in the Scripture, amen? Amen. I identify this point because I want just simply to let you know that it's not just in the Bible, but it can be in your life. It can be in your life. Amen. What would happen to your Sunday school class if all the young people in your Sunday school class would make it their business tonight? I'm single and I'm going to care for the things of the Lord, how I may please the Lord. I'm going to care for the things of the Lord, how I may be holy in body and in spirit. No telling what. Revival, I tell you what would happen, preacher. Revival would break out. Revival would break out. And I know some of you young people may be thinking, well, if all the young people goes to the altar, act while I'm going to go. No, you ought to purpose in your heart, whether anybody goes to the altar or not, you ought to purpose in your heart by the grace of God. You ought to ask the Lord first to forgive you for getting distracted, letting things, amen, even maybe good things, start to steal your heart away. So simply just pointing out, number one, what a potential description. Number two, could I say, for our second thought of consideration, what a personal aspiration. What about a personal aspiration? I want to focus our attention in on the word careth. And that does have an ETH on it. It doesn't have an ED on it. Putting it in past tense. Cared for the things. Amen. Is your spirituality behind you or is it present tense? Is it past tense or present tense? Amen. You're to be living for the Lord now as much or more so than any time in your life. The word careth means to be anxious about, to be careful, to take thought of. Now, when I first ran across this word and began to study it out, I noticed that this word is the same word that is used in a negative sense in the Scripture for worry. This word careth is the same word used multiple times in Matthew 6 about take no thought for your life. Take no thought. Amen. Don't be giving yourself to worry. Don't be giving yourself to anxiety. Amen. And things of that nature. But you know what the Lord showed me? The same word is used in our text tonight, not in a negative sense, but in a positive sense. So I began to think about what's the connection here. Has anybody ever worried? Well, three of you is honest. Well, what about that? All the preachers that didn't raise your hand just lied. Amen. I could write a book on it. And I got ulcers to prove it. Ulcers are not spiritual. I can just tell you that. Amen. I don't know if that's one of the marks that Paul said he bore in his body, but I don't know. But anyway, I'm bearing one. But anyway, here, listen. We're talking about being careful and being anxious. When you're worrying about, I'm going to use the negative thoughts and then bring that over to make the positive applications, because it is used in our text in a positive way. For instance, when you are worrying, it is thought consuming. When you've got something on your mind and you're anxious about it and you're concerned about it and you're worrying about it, I'm going to tell you, every waking moment it is on your mind. It's all that's on your mind. You don't think about nothing else. When you look at that in light of the he that is unmarried careth for the things of the Lord. Oh, it's not that we're worried about it, but that we are so given to thinking about it that it's on our mind. Amen. All day, every day. It's thought consuming. How often do you, young people, single people, of course this is applicable to anybody, but I'm specifying them right now. I want to ask you, how often do you think about the things of the Lord?
That's good preaching.
How often and how much? Amen. Now listen, come on now. I know, listen, he's dealing with single people. And when romance gets in the picture, if you don't really stay focused on your spiritual life, the romance and your interests and your affections that are normal, amen, will take over your spiritual life. That's not God's will. There's no way that's the Lord's will. Amen. Thought consuming. What would happen? Lord, help us. Come on. What would happen if our young people would be given to caring for the things of the Lord, in that it's thought consuming? I guarantee if that's the case, the preacher wouldn't have to get in the pulpit. Okay, anybody got a word of testimony? Surely somebody's got a word of testimony. Anybody breathing? Use your breath to praise the Lord. Have you eaten today? Oh, God's been good to you. Has anybody got a praise? Amen. Got a praise on your heart? Pump, prime, push, pull, offering to pay? No, I guarantee if we come in here, listen, I mean, I'm married, have been for 32 years. But I want to tell you, if we would have our thoughts consumed with the things of the Lord, we come in the house of God, I want to tell you, we would enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Amen. It'd break out. It'd be on before we, it'd be on in the parking lot. Say amen right there. Amen. My grandma, she's in heaven now. I want to tell you, a lot of times we'd stay with her. Some of the grandkids would stay with her when grandpa died. And I want to tell you, you're talking about a godly woman, spirit-filled. Lord, have mercy. She lived up on the hill of church. And she'd say, it's about time for us to go to the meeting house. Calling church meeting house. I said, Grandma, who are you going to go meet? I was carnal. I was lost, in fact. I didn't know. I thought she was going to see John Doe or Aunt Sally or somebody. I didn't know. She said, oh, no, we're going to the meeting house. We're going to go meet with God. Amen. And I knew what Grandma meant by that because I've seen her meet with God in the kitchen. I've seen her meet with God in the living room. Before we'd go to bed at night, she'd have to have a meeting with God. Tears and cry and worship and all of that. And then get up in the next morning and it's time to eat breakfast and she's got cat head biscuits and red eye gravy and grits and sure enough eggs, amen, and all that stuff there on the table and I'm dying to death starving and she's got to read the Bible. Chapters. And then she'd get so boogered up she couldn't even read. She'd have to pull her glasses off, wipe her tears. She couldn't even see the Bible. Amen. And then she'd say, well, before we eat now, we got to pray. I thought, oh boy, the ham's going to be cold. And she didn't just bow her head and say, thank you, Lord, and a few other words. She'd get that slide, that seat out, and get down in the floor. And when she'd grab that seat, it was like she was grabbing the horns of the altar. And I mean, she was almost like she'd take her fingers and hook up and grab heaven and pull it down in the kitchen. And she forgot about the eggs, and she forgot about the ham and the biscuits and a starving grandson. She forgot all about that. And I want to tell you, buddy, when it was time to go to the meeting house, it was on before she got there. That's why we have to sing 35 songs during the song service. It's trying to get people halfway warmed up before the preaching. What if we come in, the door's already hooked up? What would happen, Brother Zach, if we would go to church before we got to church? Amen.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to do better than this or we're going to be here all night. Lord, help us. It's thought consuming. Number two, I thought of this. It's life controlling. When you worry about something, it controls your life. It controls how you feel. Amen. It controls your attitude. Come on now. Hey, I know what I'm talking about. I could write. I could teach a professional class on worry. Somebody pointed out these gray hairs in my tip. I said, every one of them's got a Baptist name hooked on it. Amen. Boy, it's depressing to get old, ain't it? That ain't in the Bible, but that's just from experience. I was went into Long John's. This was before I actually was a senior citizen. God, that sounded awful, didn't it? I may need to sit down on that one. I went in there and I ordered. And I didn't say nothing. And that woman said, you a senior? I said, excuse me? She said, are you a senior? She was serious heart attack. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not a senior. At that time, I wasn't. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not. And honest, before the Lord, she leaned across the counter toward me and said, are you sure you're not a senior? That's depressing, ain't it? I started to sue her, but the Lord wouldn't let me. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, I'm talking about it's thought-consuming, it's life-controlling. If we would care, young people, if you would care for the things of the Lord, like the Bible projects right here, listen, I want to tell you, it'd be controlling your life. It would be the dominating factor in your life. But I'll tell you something else it does. It's pattern-setting. It'll develop patterns in your life. Sleep patterns, eating patterns. Amen. It'll develop patterns in your life that, listen, will go all, it'll go through your, it'll affect you for a long time until you change. Amen. Oh, wouldn't be good if we could get some spiritual patterns set in our life because our thoughts are upon the things of the Lord and we actually do care about the things of God. Can I ask y'all something? This thing's getting bigger by the second. But can I ask you something tonight? How long's it been since you made it your business to care about the atmosphere of this church service or Sunday morning service? When's the last time you come to church, young people? Listen, when's the last time you come to church and you was caring about the things of the Lord? And I think the atmosphere of church is caring for the things of the Lord. When's the last time you was alert and alarmed over the coldness in the house of God, not the temperature that's in here or was in here earlier? I'm talking about spiritually. When's the last time you left a dead service and you just tore all to pieces about it? Amen, 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 amen. God help us. Let me give you an example of this word careth. It's used several times, but here I want to use this one because you're familiar with it. In Luke chapter 10, you don't have to turn there. Jesus has went home with Mary and Martha, and they're going to fix him something to eat, or Martha is. Mary's sitting at his feet hearing his word, but Martha is in there cumbered about with much serving. And you know what Jesus said to her in verse 41? Jesus answered her and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. Same word. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. She was in there busy, 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 thinking about all these ingredients, thinking, oh mercy, I've got to get all this done. You know what all that was about? She was caring for the Lord. She was wanting to put the best meal on the table. She was wanting it to be the best. Amen. I mean, just couldn't be no better. And so she was in the kitchen, absolutely frantic. Amen. Over caring for the things of the Lord. Of course, you know and I know that she was dealing with that in the negative sense. She was actually worrying. But still, it was consuming her and it developed patterns. So, amen. In fact, you can see from her that what you're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ can actually interfere with you being with the Lord Jesus Christ. What she was doing for the Lord was commendable, but it was interfering with her intimacy and her closeness to the Lord. Amen. Personal aspiration. Verse 32, the man that's unmarried careth for the things that belongeth to the Lord. Look at this next word. How he may please the Lord. How? That word how means in what way, by what manner, or by what means. If you're interested in being a spiritual single, then I want to tell you, you are interested in how, by what means, what manner, that you can please the Lord. Young people, do you want to please the Lord? Is that your description tonight? Is that your aspiration? Do you want to please the Lord? The word please, listen to it. Oh, this is good. The word please, how he may please the Lord. The word please means to agree with. Means to be agreeable with. To seek to be so. To be agreeable. God says it, you agree with it. God asks you to quit it and you agree with it. God asks you to start it and you agree with it. God puts His finger on something in your life that needs changing or canceling and you agree with it. Listen, young people, are you in agreement with God tonight or are you in disagreement with God? A single person has revealed here that cares for the things of the Lord and how they may please the Lord. They're interested in agreeing with the Lord. Young people, you don't want to continue on through your singlehood life at this point, headed for marriage, Lord willing. Amen. You don't want to go through that in disagreement with the Lord. You want to be in agreement with the Lord. Amos 3:3 said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen. We please God by agreeing with God. So you flip that around. If we please God by agreeing with God, then if we disagree with God, that does not please God. And I've found in my own Christian life, whatever does not please God does not please me. If I please God, Brother Joe, God could please me. A lot of young people don't think God can please them, evidently, because they're going to everything under the sun to try to find that which will please them. Hey, I want to tell you, God can please you. If God can please himself, he can please you. Oh, Lord. Amen. Obedience is agreeing with God. Submission is agreeing with God. Fellowship is agreeing with God. Are you in agreement with God tonight? I'm talking about personal aspiration. Amen. Agreeing with the Lord. And then look at verse 34 when it's talking about the unmarried lady. It said that she's interested in caring for the things of the Lord. And then it says how that she may be holy. Is that your aspiration, young ladies? That you may be holy? You know what I hear a lot? Don't mention holy. They mention happy. I've heard mamas, I've heard mothers give false instruction to their daughter about a marriage situation. And here's what they said. Honey, as long as you're happy. No, what you ought to say is, no, as long as you're holy. Amen. Hey, young people, do you have an aspiration in you, amen, to be holy? Here's a single lady. Here are single women addressed as a young lady that careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy. That is, that she may be physically pure, morally blameless, and ceremonially consecrated. That she will be holy. That she'll be a saint. Watch this. I know some of you, you've done read ahead of me and you're tightening up the seatbelt. But she said, I want to be holy, number one, in body. Lord, don't preach that here, preacher. Too late. Too late, Margaret. Too late. Are y'all listening to Preacher Rackley? Immodesty, friend, is killing our churches. It's coming. Listen, used to, if somebody told you, was told there was an independent Baptist, everybody knew where you stood on the Bible. Everybody knew where you stood in concerning morals. They knew where you stood concerning doctrine, concerning modesty. I want to tell you, unto God, friend, our independent Baptist church looks like a showcase, amen, from Hollywood, and I'm sick of it. That's exactly right. Skin tight. Listen, amen. That's right. Listen, she said, young Paul dealing with the spirituality of single people, said that she may be holy, amen, in body, both in body, and that, you know what that means? Bodily. Body means bodily. Amen. Jesus was what he was in his body. He said, a body thou hast prepared. Well, I'm telling you, preacher, I'm of the persuasion that God don't care about the outward. Is that right? Stay after church for a little while. I'd love to show you plenty of scriptures that would show you you're an idiot. Well, Lord God, he don't care about what I wear. Is that right? Is that right? How much of the scriptures do you know? There are scriptures that deals plainly with it. Very plain. I'm not going to get on this because my blood pressure will go up. But it upsets me when God denying Hollywood movie stars and sports stars that wouldn't walk across the street to meet your Savior, amen, and hate your Bible and hate your preacher and the preaching and the singing. They hate that, but yet a lot of young people have made them heroes and they set the standard. They are setting the standard for the dress code in the house of God. And let me just clarify something real quick. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're lost, I'm not talking to you. God never deals with lost people about carnality. Never. When I'm saying these things, I'm talking to supposedly spiritual single people. Mamas and daddies ought to set the standard. Well, glory anyhow. Praise God. Amen. Bodily. Outwardly. Young people, are you trying to outwardly be a Christian? Are you trying to project that outwardly? You trying to display that you are a walking testimony of what God can do in a person's life? But she didn't just deal with the bodily or the body. She said she wanted to be holy in both in body and in spirit. The body part is the outward. The in spirit is the inward. I wouldn't give you a run over nickel for somebody's spiritual life that's all outward. And I've met a bunch. I've pastored a few. They had a spirit in them mean as 10 devils, amen. Had a tongue 40 miles long, amen, full of criticism. And amen, I'm telling you, that's right. They didn't hesitate. One just come to mind. Didn't bother her at all to pin me to the after I preached and just rake me over the coals after the service. Oh, but she wore a dress plumb down to her toes. I like that word, both. She said she was wanting to be godly, holy, both. In body and, which is a word of connection, and in spirit. Amen. God wants you to be holy inwardly, and God wants you to be holy outwardly. Listen now. I'm just going to say this and move on. Some of you are getting through before I do. But listen. I've seen some young people in life, in my Christian life, that was outwardly, very, young ladies, very attractive. Very attractive. But inwardly, they were ugly. Inwardly, they were ugly. Yeah. Go ahead. Let the outward be your main... Listen. Let the outward be your main focus. And you start flipping them calendars, it'll make a change in them looks. Say amen right there.
Yes, sir.
What kind of spirit do you have? Do you have a humble spirit? Do you have a holy spirit? Do you have a spirit inside of you that hungers for God, wants to honor the Lord? Oh, we're having a time tonight. That word spirit, one of the definitions, it means mental disposition. How's your thought life? Are you holy in your thought life? Well, I better move on, hadn't I? Both of them, the man in verse 32 and the woman in verse 34, said they wanted to please the Lord and they wanted to be holy. Look at it. They care for the things of the Lord. Lord. I looked that up. You know what that word Lord means? Supremacy. Supreme in authority. Controller. Oh, wow. Boy, we don't like that, do we? Controller, master. Here, young people, single, young people, listen, you are to be purposing in your heart to have God, have Jesus, one and the same, in your life as controller, as supreme in authority, as master. Meaning, He has every right because He owns you. He can tell you what to do, what not to do, and you are to be in agreement with Him. Well, that's good, ain't it? Number three. I want to talk about the prospective preparation. What greater preparation for marriage than being a spiritual single? Let me help you with something. I've been married a while. God help us. And He has helped us. Ain't no way to make it 32 years with the same woman that's from Newport, Tennessee. Without God's grace. Say, man, I hope y'all are not live streaming this. Oh, God help us. I may be going to Florida. Don't wait till you say I do and we did to start thinking about developing a prayer life and developing devotional life and start trying to get your spiritual life on track. You can't do it. And let me say this too, young people, singles, listen. You that are single and spiritual and you love God, let me give you a good piece of advice. You can't go to the dumpsters and pick out trash and then try to pull them into church and make them spiritual. I'm seeing that happen. I'm seeing that happen. I'm hearing other pastors talk about they're good girls or they're good boys. My friend seemingly having difficulty of finding somebody in the house of God. So they go somewhere and they get somebody that don't know God or don't have no kind of spiritual life. And next thing you know, they're dragging them. Come on, I'll convert you. Come on, my preacher will preach to you. There may be a few exceptions to that. That may have worked a time or two, but I promise you that's not the rule. That's an exception. Perspective preparation. How you live now, choices that you are making now, is preparing you for your future relationship in marriage. Oh yeah. The key to finding a mate that careth for the things of the Lord is for you to be one of them. Somebody said it this way, it's as best as you could say it probably. To find the right one, it's more important to be the right one. Well, they won't like me if I'm the right one. They won't like me if I'm caring for the things of the Lord. Are you wanting somebody? Come on now, use your common sense. Are you really wanting somebody to be interested in you that does not care for the things of the Lord? That would oppose you caring for the things of the Lord? Amen. Listen, if you're not one that wants to please the Lord, then you're probably not going to find one, and you're probably not going to be even looking for one that's pleasing the Lord. Amen. And that wants to be holy in body and spirit. Amen. That's right. So, in other words, Paul is saying to the single people, make your spiritual life now a supreme and top priority in your life. And hang a gigantic not for sale sign on it. Oh, I've heard them testify. How they gonna live for God until Mr. Slick Tongue come along. I've seen it. I'm not talking about stuff I read out of the book. I know what I'm talking about. Preacher, you've probably seen it. You've been here several years. You've probably seen it. Are y'all listening? He's telling the single people, make your spiritual life a priority. Make it personal. And don't go, listen, dipping your colors and changing to try to influence or impress someone. Be what you are. Be what God wants you to be. And if somebody likes you for that, then you won't have to change. But if you get carnal in order to get attention, and then that person falls in love with your carnality, they fall in love with your carnal life, and guess what? Then all of a sudden you're married. Guess what now? Oh, now you're wanting to get right with God. Well, that wasn't the one they fell in love with. And now you've got big trouble. You've got big problems. Best thing to do is set your standards high. Live up to them yourself. Amen. Live up to them yourself. Don't ever cater. Don't ever compromise. Amen. It's better to be alone than in bad company. That's right. Well, preacher, I'm only 16 and I'm afraid I'm going to be an old maid in the youth group. Is that right? 16 years old, worried to death that you ain't going to get married. Lord, have mercy. Amen. I was 25 when I got married. And I probably could have waited another year or two. I didn't say that then, but I could probably say that now. But you better have your spiritual life rooted and grounded and intact, and it be convictions, personal convictions, before you start become interested in a companion. Amen. Now for you that are married, can I say a word to them? Us? And I do want to say something to the singles in addition to that. Notice he does change it. He does change it. And I'm not going to preach much on this, but I do want to make a comment on it. You know, he did say the unmarried care for the things of that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Verse 34, the unmarried woman care for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. Both accounts, the man and the woman, it does flip that now and deals with the marriage side. Verse 33, but he that is married careth for the things that are of the world. What a change. How he may please his wife. Verse 34, on down in the verse, but she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now, I don't have the time, and you don't either, to go in and deal with that thoroughly. But I do want to say enough about that to simply say that that does not mean that when you get married, your mate and marriage hijacks your spiritual life. Well, I'm supposed to please my wife now. That never takes away from your top priority of pleasing the Lord. That I may that the lady may please her husband. That's scriptural, but it's never to be at the expense of your spiritual life. Well, my husband don't want to come to church, so I've got to please him. So I'm going to stay home with him. Leave his tail at the house. Say, I'm going to church. I'll be home after a while. Amen. Same could be applied to the other side. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes. What if the wife and the husband remains with that purpose in their heart, I want to please the Lord. And they come into a marriage, the husband wants to please the Lord, wants to be honorable to the Lord, care for the things of the Lord. The wife comes into the marriage with that same care, with that same spiritual devotion. Do you think that's going to be a conflict when both of them is living for the same master and same Lord? I've watched marriages blow apart. I've watched homes divide and blow apart when one of the mates in the marriage began to care for the things of the world. One wants to be spiritual, the other gets carnal, and next thing you know, there's division in the home. They have no fellowship. They have nothing hardly in common. One wants to go to church, the other wants to go to a dance. Are you listening? And there's trouble. I know there may be a few exceptions where they may date for a week and get married, or 2 months and get married. But I want to tell you, friend, you better court them long enough to where you know them through and through. And focus mainly on their spiritual life. Because if they don't have a sure, true, intimate, biblical relationship and fellowship with God, they're going to be a thorn in your side if you're wanting to live for Jesus. Amen. That's good. I thought it was good anyhow. Amen. Let me close with this. That's the part everybody's listening for. Everybody's smiling now. Look at verse 35. Paul comes to this summary. And this really is a message all in itself. Paul says, I'm going to tell you, this is why I've been dealing with the spirituality of single people. This is why I've been trying to get you to be rooted and grounded in your spiritual life before you get married. Here, look at it. Four things in verse 35. He said, this I speak for your own profit. He said, what I've been preaching to you about your spiritual life as a single person is for your profit. For your profit. And that word profit means your advantage. It'll be better for you. It'll be good. It'll be profitable for you. Thank God for a preacher that'll deal with stuff that'll be profitable for you. What I've tried to preach, and I mentioned, and that's what I feel like I've done, is tried to preach. But what I've tried to preach, I believe if you practice it, it'll be profitable for you. Secondly, he said, not only that I speak this for your own profit, but number two, that I may not that I may cast a snare upon you. That word snare means a noose. Paul says, I'm not trying to put you in bondage. I'm not trying to put you a noose on you. I'm not trying to do that. It's not for a purpose of control. And then he said, thirdly, but for that which is comely. That word comely means decorous or noble in rank or honorable. God's man is really concerned about your spiritual life being honorable. And then fourthly, look at this one. A message all in itself. He said, the fourth reason I've shared all of this is this reason. That ye may attend upon the Lord without distractions. Give me just a minute. That word attend unto the Lord means sitting well towards. There's not a seat up here. I'll just use this seat right here. If I'm attending unto you, I'd be sitting here. I'd be setting toward Him.
Amen.
I'd be looking at Him, waiting on the nod of the head, waiting on Him to say, cut it off, preacher, you're done preaching, or anything. Amen? Hey, listen, Paul said the reason I've been preaching to single young people is that I want you to be of a spiritual life. Amen. To where your marriage don't mess you up. Where your mate will be a compliment to your convictions instead of a complication. So the word attend means to sit or sitting well towards, dwell close to sit near, amen, to be constant in effort, working diligently at the task of service. Wow. Paul is saying to singles, I want you to be of a spiritual life on a spiritual level to where your focus and you're sitting toward the Lord and you're facing the Lord. You're waiting on instructions from the Lord. You're wanting to please the Lord. You're wanting to honor the Lord. You're diligent, working diligently at a task of attending upon the Lord. Watch this right here. I'm done. Attending upon the Lord. We're setting toward. We're close to. All of those definitions. And I'm looking. Preacher, you know, while I'm looking at you and I'm focusing on you, my ears are toward you, my eyes are toward you, my attention's toward you, I don't see none of them.
Amen. That's right. That's good.
They may be sticking their tongue out at me. While I'm with my back turned to them, they may be looking at their watch.
Right.
I seen that,
right.
Sir.
I saw that.
Yeah. That you may attend unto the Lord without distractions. When storms come, don't distract you. When darkness comes, don't distract you. When difficulties come, don't distract you. Amen. When somebody's critical of you, as the preacher preached, it don't distract you. Why? You're sitting toward the Lord and you're focused, amen, on serving Him and attending unto Him. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Amen. Father, we come in.